something for the weekend. Good morning, how are you? This is Trina Mara, and World Book Day is coming to us digitally this year, as everything is on the 4th of March. And the idea is, I suppose, to promote reading for pleasure in kids, especially during these times. And those national book tokens available too. They're available in schools and libraries, but they're going to be given digitally this year. And booksellers are going to be honouring the tokens as well beyond the usual cut-off date. So I know that that really gets kids into reading, and they get very excited about the token. On the line, we have got Judy Curtin. Good morning, Judy. You are the Irish World Book Day author.
That's right. Yeah. Hi, Trina. There is actually one other. Derek Landy is also doing a book, but because his book is published in England, mine is kind of counted as the Irish one for the year. But make a note that Derek Landy has a great book also for World Book Day.
Yeah. Don't be plugging other people. Just plug yourself, Judy. So listen, what's your book? Tell me all about your one.
Okay, my book is called Lily and the Lysadell Ghost. So I've written two books already about Lily, who is working in Lysadell House back in 1913 and 1914. This is just a little short story about Lily and her friends, particularly her friend Maeve de Markievicz, who was the forgotten daughter of Countess Markievicz, who was living in Lysadell House back in 1913.
So what kind of age group then are you targeting your book towards?
Yeah, authors hate age groups, but I would think, you know, a very good, competent reader from an age of around 8 up to probably 100 or something. You know, a lot of people have told me they've bought it for their children, but they got caught up because of the history and story, and they like to read it as well. So I'm not going to limit my market unnecessarily.
No, exactly. You're dead right. And I think, you know, over the last few years, kids, I mean, even since I was in school, I remember the odd time they would do like a read-a-thon or something to really kind of encourage children to read. But I know from my own family, God, the kids in the family are absolute bookworms. They just love it. But there are some children, I guess, around the country who might not have the same access to books and things. So that's why it's great that they're promoting it, World Book Day, and they're giving these tokens to kids.
Well, unfortunately, they say that for some children, this book they get with their token is the only book they will get this year, which, you know, to me is a heartbreaking thought. They're small, so they're quite accessible. You know, if children are not used to reading, you know, a big book can be a bit daunting, or if they're not very confident of reading, but because these are quite short books, and most children will find something in the World Book Day books that would entice them, I hope.
I know there was a lot of research done, but they say that when you're good at reading and you get into reading, it actually makes you quite a confident adult.
Yeah. It's really, I mean, you know, there's a million studies saying that reading is so great for the future and, you know, future educational success and all of that. And for me, it's also about enjoyment. You know, there's, you know, the pandemic, as we all know, is very scary for lots of people. But reading for me has been, you know, it's been a lifesaver, really.
Yeah. No, there's nothing like it, like being able to shut away the computer and sit down with a book as well. So you're a Cork woman, Judy, but you live in Limerick.
I am.
So how did you get into the whole writing thing? Did you have a different career before this?
I did. I was a primary school teacher.
Go away.
And also all my life kind of thought I would write a book one day, but I was nearly 40 by the time I actually got my act together and wrote one. So I've been writing fairly fast, trying to make up for all the time I missed.
And did you give up the primary teaching?
I did, but it's lovely because I get to spend a lot of time, well, before the pandemic, I get to spend a lot of time in schools anyway and around children, but doing the things I like best, like talking about reading in books, you know, rather than having to do boring things like marking copies and yard duty.
But I suppose, you know, when you work in an environment like that, you get to kind of know children so well. You get to realise what works and what kind of sparks their interest. And you're a mum as well. So you probably had a few ideas from your kids, did you?
Well, you do, because sometimes, you know, I pick up a book and I'd say, bring it home to my children and say, you're going to love this. And they just look at it blankly, you know, and after half an hour, I'd see it, you know, thrown to one side. And same reading aloud to children at school. Children are very discerning in a good way. You have to work hard, and the myth that, you know, children will read any old thing, you know, it's terrible. And we owe it to children, you know, and parents and booksellers and librarians owe it to children to source the best books, to really give them the best chance to engage.
Your books have been translated into loads of languages as well. Yeah. That must be, that's an amazing achievement, because that definitely means that it's not just selling here in Ireland.
Well, it's kind of cool, and it's also kind of random. I'm big in Serbia, which you know, was a lovely thing to hear. And actually went to Serbia a couple of years ago, and it was really strange to see that, you know, my books were front and center in the bookshops. You know, I was on TV twice there. You know, it's a country I had never visited before. It's a beautiful country, but to me, it's a bit random. Whereas, you know, other countries, you know, next door to Serbia would have never heard of me.
And how do you think that parents who are listening now, who really would like to get the kids out of the tablet, forget about that for now, and get reading books, how can they kind of encourage it, do you think?
Well, by good example, I think, you know, you can't be there scrolling your phone and saying to the children to put down their device. You know, if you can sort of set by a really cozy time, you know, make hot chocolate or something or whatever the children like, and just have a cozy, warm, lovely place, you know, they can sit wherever they like or throw themselves on the floor and, you know, make it a thing to look forward to. Because there's a danger if you say to children, if you're good, you can have the PlayStation, or if you're good, you know, you have to see that reading is a treat as well, and don't make it something, you know, you have to do so you can get to go on a device.
Somebody was saying to me there a couple of years ago, a bookshop owner, that you can never read too early to a child, because I have a little one who's 3.5 now, and I think she was only maybe 2 at the time. And I said, when is a good time to start reading to her? They said, never, ever too early to start reading to a child. And then they develop the love of hearing stories, and then they learn how to read themselves.
Oh, yeah, and they will eat the books and they'll throw them around the place and they'll, you know, they'll do all these kind of things, but they're listening to the language and they're going to, you know, they're putting their dirty little fingers with their rusks and their baby wipes all over them, and they're just, you know, they're learning that books are things to enjoy. And, you know, they associate it in the early years then, if, you know, being up in their mom or their dad's arms, and that has to have great value for a child in later times.
Yeah. Why did you decide to do children's books as opposed to adult books?
Well, I actually decided I wrote for adults first. I wrote 3 books for adults first. And when I really only wrote my first children's book, kind of as a sop to my own children who were kind of 10, 11, 12 at the time. And I thought, well, you know, they're getting old and I should write one book that they could engage with, you know, while they were still young enough. Kind of took off from there. I didn't realize how much I was going to love writing for children. And I've written, I think, 27 books for children since then. And I've never gone back and written another adult book. So I think I've kind of made it clear where I'm going.
And do you ever run out of ideas? Is it hard to kind of, like, would you still get the same kind of writer's block that every other writer could get?
Well, you don't, you have your moments, you know, and you have times when you're sitting down and you're thinking, oh, you know, this is going to be torture, and you're kind of looking at the word count going up on the page. But the days you're like that tend not to be the days you're writing stuff that will always stay in the book. You know, and the days that you're writing really valuable stuff that you're going to keep, they're the days where suddenly you look at the watch and you say, oh no, there's no teammate, or, you know, I've all these other things, I've missed an appointment. You can, you know, there's good days and bad days, and good days are, you know, they're worth sticking the other ones out.
Now, here's one for you, Judy. Have you ever had a day where you've lost all your work, where the computer shut down?
No, because I'm such a cautious person. I save and I save and save and save all the time, you know. And I
every
save,
word you write, save.
Well, nearly, nearly. But certainly I kind of have myself trained to, you know, if I get, say, to the end of an important scene or something, and I'd hit save, and I'd say, now, fingers crossed, you know, I might get to run away, that might happen, but so far, so good.
You hear these stories all the time, don't you? And people leaving laptops and trains and all kinds of things, and the work they've been doing for the last year, gone.
It would break my heart. I mean, if sometimes, you know, the odd time I might lose a paragraph or something, and I, you know, I nearly need counselling afterwards, so the idea of losing a whole book, would, I just couldn't even go there.
Oh, that's so funny. Counselling for writers who've lost their work. So, Judy, the name of your current book, remind us what it's called, and can kids use the World Book Day token on your book?
Yeah, my special World Book Day token, you can buy the whole book, really, and list it out those, but you can get, you know, you can use the value of it on any of my books of your choosing. The most recent one is Lily Steps Up.
And tell me this much, were your children mad readers then, having you in their household grown up?
Yeah, they kind of come and go, and they all kind of lost their way a little bit, you know, in the teens, kind of 14, 15, 16, and I thought, oh, have I gone wrong? But now they're all in their 20s now, and they love reading. And one day during the lockdown, one of our mini lockdowns, had been out, and I came back and my two girls had the heating ramped up. It was baking and they were lying down on couches reading. And I said, what are you doing? And they said, we're pretending we're on holidays, because our favourite thing about holidays is lying on a sunbed reading a book. So they had recreated that in our home, which was very sweet.
Oh, God. I hope they didn't recreate. I saw online, you know, Stacey Solomon from the telly. She recreated the beach in her bathroom for her children. So they actually had the whole bathroom covered in sand and everything.
No.
They went too far.
The easy way. Yeah.
Well, listen, that's great. Judy Curtin there. World Book Day coming soon, 4th of March. And thankfully, it's still happening, even though in a kind of a different way this year. Everything's happening digitally. And there's loads of things happening online. Anyone interested can check out the website there as well. Thank you very much, Judy, for talking to us today.
Thank you, Trina. It was a pleasure.
Cheers. This is Something for the Weekend. It's Ireland's Classic Hits.